decided against everything to get a divorce, I remember hearing the voice of God. I remember Him saying, stop. And I remember deliberately disobeying and telling Him, no, I want it my way.
Boy, it's a heartbreak story. We're going to get the rest of Jenna's story, and we use that to sort of set up what we discussed yesterday and carrying on again today is about getting to that edge and being able to step back. Here's why we do a show like this from Intentional Living, because I believe there's someone listening today who's about to make a decision that you may regret. And either side of this thing, either deciding you want to go in a direction, have an affair, step over the edge, continue to do dumb, stupid things in your relationship, in your marriage, or you're just tired and worn out and ready to give up. And we don't want either. We want you guys, because we pray for you, to help you rebuild your marriage for God's glory and your benefit. And that's what Intentional Living is about. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer, Stephen, and Gino on Facebook. Welcome to our Facebook friends as well. We got some callers we're going to get to. Some people left some stories with us. And of course, we'll get back to Jenna's heartbreak story here in just a little bit. Let's get to the calls, however. First, Pat is in California. Hi, Pat. How are you today?
Hi, good. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned?
I think the biggest thing is I've turned 60, and I felt like I still stuck in some bitterness and anger for a crisis my husband and I had gone through, and he wasn't willing to get help. But I thought, you know, when I stand before God, I stand alone, and I need to be responsible for what my business is before Him. So I started Celebration Recovery for my bitterness and anger. And I have to say that even though he hasn't gone for help yet, it's improved our communication and our marriage. I feel 100% just taking responsibility for my part of it and asking Him for forgiveness for my bitterness and anger and moving forward in what I need to do before the Lord.
How does that impact how you communicate with your husband today?
Well, just lately, I gave him a letter of asking forgiveness for my part of it and making amends, and as part of the Celebration Recovery. And so he just said, wow, honey, I don't know what to say, but I do really appreciate that you're trying to, you know, do your part before the Lord. And so that alone softened his heart. And now I think that we're going to start some biblical counseling together.
Good.
But just telling him how much I appreciated all his hard work for the family and that I needed to ask forgiveness for my bitterness and anger during our 26 years of marriage, that it just softened his heart.
How has this impacted you? How do you feel about yourself and just daily life compared to before all this?
I just feel lighter spiritually, physically. I feel like, wow, Lord, you know, I really held on to that off and on. I thought I'd given it to him and set it at his feet, but then I would take it back. And it's just, it's some freedom that I've never experienced. And it took me till I'm 60 to really do it. But I feel totally, I totally feel different as a person.
Well, at least you didn't wait till you were 70.
Yes.
There's good news there, right? Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's good, Pat. Great call from California. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Appreciate you listening to Intentional Living. Pat reminds us, come on now, sometimes we do these things, we talk about intentional, we do it, frankly, you hear me say it, God's glory and our benefit. Pat, if Pat's husband doesn't change at all, Pat's doing better. She's happier with her own life, the decision she's made, how she's interacting. It's a decision she's made. It's impacted her. Come on now. We can't wait for other people, our spouse or whoever, to make us feel better about ourselves. It's right. It's intentional, and it begins on the inside. It begins with us, right? Okay, very good. Thank you. Let me go to Jill from California to Florida. Hey, Jill, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good. Hey, what have you learned about marriage and making it work? One thing that's made a difference.
Well, I would say that I learned that I cannot be someone else's Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And there was many times in our marriage, in the beginning of our marriage, we were My husband was struggling with addiction, and I became a really good detective, and I learned more about the scriptures, and I was always talking about doing these things and trying to live the right life. And I realized later that I was trying to be his Holy Spirit. And so what I learned was to get out of the way and allow the Lord to speak to him and to guide him, that it wasn't my job to do that.
How'd you get out of the way?
I filed for divorce, and we stayed together, so there was a happy ending. But filed for the divorce, and he went to a Christian program that was just like none other for 10 months, you know, and I thought, I'm through with him. But during that time, the Lord was also showing me myself. I was starting to really see who I was and realizing that my part in this marriage was just as important as him trying to do his part. So instead of always looking to him about what his problems were and the things that he was dealing with, what I learned through this process, because we went to classes together at this Christian program. Eventually, after like 3 months, I decided to go visit with him, and they did counseling for couples. And I realized that my job was to look to the Lord, and his job was to look to the Lord. And if we're both are looking to the Lord and going to him for who we are and our identity and dealing with our struggles, that we're eventually going to meet each other at that point. So it's like a triangle. If I'm sitting over here on the right side on the triangle looking over at him all the time, I'm not looking to God. So if we both are looking up, we're eventually going to meet there, and then we're going to... So we had to look at our own individual identity in Christ and who we are, and I had to stop spending my time trying to be his Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
so
good
I had
for
to
you.
Focus more. I had to focus on, you know, so if I'm not the wife and the mother and the person, the child of God I'm supposed to be and strive to be, then I'm not... I might as well be doing the things that he's been doing, you know.
Yeah. How are you guys doing now?
Oh, we are doing wonderful. This was back in the early 2000s. We are still married, and we have two daughters, and there's been miracle after miracle. During that time, so many things happened. He was healed from hepatitis. Just things that we just saw how God just started laying out and providing and blessing our lives. And that hasn't been perfect, and there's days where we are like, we know that the Lord is showing us over and over that we are to trust in him or rely on him. You know, we can't always have that part to see moment, but we can always remember when he did do these things in our lives.
Amen to that. Fantastic. Thank you, Jill, from beautiful Florida. Listen, Jill said something really profound. I hope we don't miss. She said, you know, I was trying to fix him, trying to be his Holy Spirit, slipping him commercials. You know, that's what she was doing. She was slipping him some of those spiritual verses commercials, like, hey, listen, now if you did this, your life would be better. We do this with our kids too. Our young adults, we've done shows on adult sons and daughters. Sometimes we can try to do the same thing. We try to play the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, just like what happened with Jill, and she just said, hey, I'm out of, I can't do this anymore. And put the ball of life squarely in his court. He had to make a decision. Am I going to get help or am I going to, now what? You know what? He could have decided to say, fine, I'm out of here. That had been a decision he had made. But he chose to say, hey, my marriage matters, my health matters, my life, my family. I want to get some help. I want to make a difference in the future. And here they are years later doing great. That's a reminder, no matter how deep you feel you're in the pit today, it can get better if you trust God. All right. Did we take a break yet? No. All right. Let's take it. I'm having so much fun. I forgot. Jennifer gives me that look. Break time. Let's take a minute. I'll be back. Nancy, hang on. We'll be with you in Arizona.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
And here's the point of this lesson. Nehemiah had a command from God in his heart to do something, and he took some really winter steps in his life. On the other hand, we see Jonah, same God, giving him a command to do one thing, and instead, he ran. He hid from God. God gave him a second chance, and he's not happy about it. He does it reluctantly, I think, but he does it. And we see him at the end of the story sitting on the hill feeling sorry for himself. You know, that's really the point today. The decision we can make, we can either be a winner or a loser in life. A winner or loser in trusting God. A winner or loser allowing our emotions to dictate how we respond in life. And my encouragement to each of us, be more of a Nehemiah in our life.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I taught it, right? But it's also the truth. I'd rather be a Nehemiah than a Jonah. I mean, two interesting characters, great stories from the Old Testament. But if you compare and contrast these two guys, you see that Nehemiah, well, one thing he did, it was in the first chapter of his story that he decided to get on his knees for a couple of months and pray and fast and get his head and heart all straight before he did anything. And then he did some amazing things. Jonah, on the other hand, in chapter one, he ran like a scared rabbit. And he head off and hid in the belly of that fish, well, the boat first, and then the fish. And then in chapter two, he says, oh, God, I just help me. And he did, but didn't take second chance that God gave him all that well either. Anyway, two guys, two stories, two paths, two endings. Which one would you rather be, a Nehemiah or Jonah? If you'd like to see the comparison and the contrast, it's in this month's masterclass for June from Intentional Living. All of our Intentional Living community, you've received it by email or by CD. If you're not, you're thinking, well, I don't get that. We'd love to have you come and be a part of our family. Help us continue to do what God has called us to do by going to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And we'll welcome you to the family. Your monthly support, whatever it is, will make a big difference. I mentioned yesterday that we had some friends during this month of June that are matching everything for Intentional Living, a little over $10,800. And we're down, as of yesterday, to $4,665 to go for June to be matched dollar for dollar. And then for those who contacted us overnight, I'm sure that's a little lower still. So right now, you know, a $1,000 gift gets doubled for the ministry, $500, join us, $30 a month. Come and be a part of it. We need your help. I know we live in a time where the world seems like it's going over the edge, but we don't want to go with it, right? We don't want to go over the edge with it. We're going to stay and do what God tells us to do intentionally and enjoy it. Come and be a part of this journey with us. Again, go to theintentionallife.com or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717 and press number 2. All right, Nancy, thank you for waiting in Arizona. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. And Stefan, you guys have just been a big part of my life. When me and my husband first got married, we were 19. And if he would have asked me, I would have said I was a believer. But years later, I realized it was only in my mind. I didn't have Jesus in my heart. Mm. And I was not happy with my husband. I mean, to me, it was like a prison sentence. But after I, you know, accepted Jesus, truly accepted him, I realized I had to look in the mirror. And it wasn't just all him. It was me, too. And I need to change. But he was very, very angry when I became a Christian and went to church all the time and stuff. But you guys were my lifeline. I mean, I just kept my go-to verse was 1 Peter 3:1, do it without a word.
Yeah.
And I just, every time, you know, I wanted to say something, I'm like, nope, without a word. And it's not that every now and then I did say something, like I would invite him to church, and if he came, fine, and if he didn't, fine and stuff. But I waited for over 20 years, and he finally became a believer.
Huh.
And
what do you do? Yeah, go to church with you, or?
He started going gradually. He would go every now and then, but he would never take communion because he knew that that was for believers. So he would go, but he would never take communion. Well, on 2017, everybody, our pastor, you know, he was surrounded with prayers. And they said, this is going to be the year. Well, it was really ironic because it was New Year's Eve, happened to land on a Sunday, and it was 2017. And I'm like, okay, Lord, if he's going to become a believer in 2017, we're running out of time. So they had communion that day, and he said, do you want me to get it for both of us? And I just had tears running down my eyes and stuff. But anyway, and it's still, you know, I mean, you know, we're still married. We're still human. You know, it's not like life's perfect and stuff. But, you know, it's just awesome. The way how it could have been would have been so much different. We have five grandchildren. They're with us quite a bit, you know, and they wouldn't have been if I would have done it the world's way.
That's
but
right.
You guys were my lifeline.
Well, we're glad we could be a part of that. You know, I did a lesson with the staff this morning. We talked about experience hope. That's what our slogan is, I suppose. But deeper than that, it's really the conviction of our heart. Our mission is really to affirm faith, offer hope or experience hope, and then to live intentionally in Christ. That's what we do. We think it's pretty unique and pretty special. And I was talking about the hope that we present, and we know we want to be sort of a lifeline of hope, bringing the truth of God's word and seeing what God can do. And the fact that it took 20 years is a reminder. One of the things we said today, to wait patiently. I did a little thing about the waiting room. You know, that some of you are in a waiting room. You ever been in a waiting room? I hate waiting rooms. I hate them. Go to a doctor. Come on. You got an appointment with a doctor. When's the last time you went to a doctor appointment and they were on time? Hello. But that's another story. But anyway, you're in a waiting room and you see people who are nervous sometimes, or they're upset, or they're anxious. Or sometimes people are patient. And maybe you're in a waiting room and you're getting tired of it, waiting. But God is a God with the ultimate hope of our relationship with Him and truth of His salvation, as it says in Scripture. All right. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate it. We're talking about the hope in marriage, I guess, as people are stepping back from the edge, making decisions, better decisions for their marriage, like Misty. Man, we'd love to hear your story. Go ahead.
I just celebrated my 23rd wedding anniversary. Yeah, and we many times have had, you know, the divorce talk, the talking to the kids, saying, you know, hey, we're not going to make it. It's just not going to work out. And we've persevered, but it's been difficult. We've done couples counseling, we've done individual counseling, and, you know, we're really on a good page right now. And so for our 23rd wedding anniversary, we flew over to Florida to go to, you know, the Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, and just had the best time. And then we had a work convention that we were going to, and at our work convention 2 days after our anniversary, he was taken by ambulance, and we found that he has 3 brain tumors. We then find out he has stage 4 lung cancer that's metastasized. So a week following our anniversary, he's in emergency brain surgery because he's hemorrhaging. And so he was on a breathing tube. I had to emergency fly him back to Arizona from Florida because, you know, he's in a completely vegetative state at this point. He's now had strokes. And so, yeah, now we took the breathing tube out and he continued to breathe on his own. And it's just, you know, the little tender mercies that God has given me throughout this whole 23 days that I've been going through this have just been absolutely amazing. In Florida, I knew he was going to get better. God told me he was going to get better. And I just, at one point I was chuckling in the chapel as I'm worshiping with my earbuds in and just knowing that everything's going to be fine. You know, at that point I thought that he was going to be fine. You know, as the story progresses, you then find out it's not that he's going to be fine, that it's going to be fine, you know, because God he's literally been here the entire time. And so I guess, you know, my thing for the couples out there, we weren't doing good about 6 months ago. That's when we started our counseling and our individual. And when we were in the Magic Kingdom, we were walking and we were, you know, talking, and I was a little frustrated because he was walking slow and he had a headache. You know, little did I know he had 3 brain tumors, but we were able to communicate and we were able, you know, to talk it out.
What have you learned? What is the final message?
Communication is key. Love on each other hard, because tomorrow is not given. I'm not going home with my husband.
Boy, we'd love to hear the end of that story, Misty. What God has continued to do in your life and your marriage. And it's a reminder. I mean, it's a sober reminder, but every day is a gift. when we get up, we should enjoy the day. In effect, one of the little verses I shared with the team today on hope comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, where it says, hope is for the living, not the dead. Isn't that true? Hope is for the living, not the dead. And then it goes on to say that an alive dog is better than a dead lion. What a word picture. And so if you're feeling a little overwhelmed in life and marriage and family, hey, you're breathing today. You're alive. Well, whatever you're going through, God's with you, wants to be your father today. Let's take a break. I'll be right back.
In our lives, we all have challenges and opportunities. In Dr. Randy's message, Winning and Losing at Life, you'll learn about two people in the Bible, Nehemiah and Jonah, and how they responded in different ways to challenges and opportunities in their lives, and how we can finish strong as winners who are obedient to Christ. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This month, we have an incredible opportunity, as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar right now. Receive this month's special offer. And to send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I hope you'll do what Kurt just told us to do. Give us a call, 888-888-1717, press number 2 during West Coast business hours. Our staff, great people. They'll love on you and get you signed up, be a part of Intentional Living Community. Your monthly support, tell you can't do it any longer or choose not to, that's fine. But we just thank you for being a part of us, the ministry, and helping out, especially as we close out our fiscal year here in June and everything being matched for the next a few thousand dollars, a little over $4,000 to go at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717. We started the show today with a little excerpt from a call that we received from Jenna. This is a heartbreaker. And I know that you're all going to have different reactions to what you hear. I know that. I just want you to hear that this young lady's heart following a decision she made that she now regrets. And let God speak to you in whatever way he needs to speak to you. This isn't about me. It's about God speaking to you through Jenna. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Jenna. I was listening this evening about your raw conversation to decide to have a divorce or not to stay. I just would like to encourage listeners. I did not stay. I decided against everything to get a divorce 9 years ago, and the grass was not greener. The one thing that I remember about the day in that courtroom, I remember hearing the voice of God. I remember him saying, stop, don't do this. And I remember deliberately disobeying and telling him, no, I want it my way. And can I tell you, I've been in a struggle and a fight every day since. And now I'm living in a place where I completely know how bad I regret it. My family is broken. I don't have the relationship I want with my children. I don't have the relationship I want with my ex-husband. And he has moved on. He has found somebody that he wants the relationship with. And it is the most difficult thing for me, because not having my family and being broken and knowing that if I just would have listened, if I just would have obeyed, I probably would be in the promised land right now.
You know, I have nothing to add. I think you just let that story, I don't know what's going on and wherever you all are in your life, I'll just let that settle in and let God do his work, whatever it means to you. But I do think we have time for one more. Gloria, welcome to the show. Why don't you wrap us up here today? Go ahead and share your story.
I got a divorce and it was amicable, but then became ugly and ended up having to have the law involved. Long story short, God, in his infinite love and mercy, gave us a reconciliation. not to remarry or anything like that, but he reconciled us. It took 4 years after the marriage was dissolved, but our relationship was reconciled in that we agreed to be good parents to our children and to be friends. And so that is where the reconciliation has taken place. Our children see us as being loving people, kind to one another, and so both of us serving God, and we're both remarried now, and happily so.
Thank you, Gloria. That's a whole nother direction, another show, isn't it, in terms of being able to move beyond the hurts of the past. But I'll tell you, there's just in closing, there's a couple things that Gloria said that I think are important. Whatever the state is, you might be divorced today, and it may not be that you ever restore that relationship. Restoring means you're putting it back together. But there can be a reconciliation, prayerfully, hopefully, at least in your own life, in terms of how you choose to relate to that ex-spouse. What's your goal? What's your attitude? And you may need some help thinking that through. It's all the better when both parties can do that. On the other hand, you may be on this side of the equation like Jenna was. When God spoke to her, clearly, I mean, God was saying, you don't continue to do this. Stop. And so it could be in your life today, God is speaking to you about, may not be divorce, it may be just an attitude, it could be a behavior, it could be ignoring a problem, there could be any number of things going on in your marriage that you just choose to say, I need to step back and get a perspective and give God the glory, because I know it'll benefit me, my spouse, and our family. Whatever all this program means to you all today, I hope you'll let God speak to your heart. I'm Dr. Randy. I want to say thanks to Gino, making sure we're on Facebook Live today and looking as good as we're ever going to look. And Stephen, our senior producer, and of course, Jennifer, who keeps us on and off on time and all the little spots that we run. Thank you for our entire team upstairs taking phone calls, and everybody who's a part of the ministry, our engineers, our business department, everybody. Thank you all for your work and standing with us. As we wrap up today, just a reminder, with only a few days left in this fiscal year of June 30th, thanking you for your support, reminding you that your support really matters. We have a ways to go between now and June 30th to close this year strong, and I ask you prayerfully to consider a love gift to help us do this at theintentionallife.com. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.